Sir, it is indeed a great privilege to be with you. I've looked forward to it since last year when I was here with you at the convention. It's good to see you still rejoicing in the truth and still desirous of meeting with those of like precious faith. Bring you the love and greetings of the brethren in Portland. I suppose, or perhaps not, you may know that we moved from California to Portland, Oregon during the year. We're thankful to be there. The Lord is blessing us. We have a nice class, and the brethren do send their special love and greetings to you. Vernie wanted to be especially remembered to you also. She always regrets that it's not possible for her to come with me, but she does send her love, and also Tim and Dawn want to be especially remembered to you too. It's not only a great privilege and pleasure to see you, but I'm delighted also that we have with us four brethren from Poland. Now, they don't really understand very much English, but I thought that maybe I'd just attempt in just a sentence or two to welcome them to the convention. So bear with me. I mean Italians and Poles, because this is not going to be easy. Drodzy bracia z Polski, chcę w parę słów powiedzieć, że witamy was do tej konwencji, nie tylko do konwencji, ale i do naszego kraju. I cieszymy się, że będziemy was widzieć czasami. I bardzo radujemy się, że bracia mogli przyjechać tutaj. I cieszymy się, że bracia nas miłują i my także was miłujemy bardzo. I życzymy braciom pańskich błogosławień i jego opiekę. Niech Pan będzie z wami. I'd say something in Italian if I could. All I can say all I can say is grazie, and I know pizza too. The Lord's people, as we well know, are traveling the road that leads to the heavenly court. There's a big question that confronts us. Are we equipped for such a journey? The question takes many forms. Will we have enough faith? Will we have enough love to triumph over the exasperations and the resentments and the difficulties that arise from time to time? Will our faith hold out even though the vision may seem to tarry? Will we continue to appreciate the doctrines of present truth and be willing to continue to lay down our lives for the truth? In other words, have we strength to fulfill our vows of consecration? There are times that come over each one of us, I'm sure, when we feel a sense of human weakness, and when we feel inadequate for the task at hand. So it's not surprising that occasionally we should feel within the depths of our heart this anxiety about being thrust into a crisis and then hopefully being successful. The endurance of trials and difficulties is easy to talk about at a convention or at meetings. It's so easy when some other brother or sister is going through a trial, and we might say to ourselves, now why is he so upset over that little thing? Or we may wonder why his faith isn't strong enough. But yet, how different it is when we find ourselves in that kind of a situation. How different when the storms of adversity hit our dwelling place. It's like a tornado or a hurricane that strikes a house and it ends up in a ruined heap. And so, what happens then when the road that we've been trotting suddenly becomes more difficult and the narrow way becomes more narrow than we ever thought it could be? When it is lonelier than we ever expected. When your heart cries out and you just feel that there's no way that you can possibly go on. Well, my dear brethren, I'm sure you know this well. That is just the exact time when the grace and the strength of the Lord begins to operate on our behalf. That is when the Heavenly Father sends to His people a delivering angel. There have been many servants of God who have had severe moments of anguish and trial. There was a day when it happened to that rugged servant of God, the prophet Elijah. It seems that the subtle, stubborn scheming of Ahab and Jezebel and all the powers of darkness had been most discouraging. And finally, he was just overwhelmed. And so we see him throwing himself under a juniper tree and saying to the Lord, Lord, it's enough. I can't stand it anymore. Take my life. Elijah needed help tremendously. And so God sent to him a delivering angel. And he touched Elijah and said, arise and eat. And we read in 1 Kings 19:8, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And there was another day in which still another servant of God had an experience similar to that. It was the prophet Jeremiah. And as you read the 20th chapter of his prophecy, you just get that feeling that he was being overwhelmed by his experiences. You can almost see Jeremiah kind of marching up to the throne of God, desirous of turning in his resignation as a prophet. And there was a day when it happened to the Apostle Paul. That nagging, aching thorn in the flesh was spoiling everything. Oh, he felt if only this could be removed. Oh, how much more he could do in the interests of the Lord's service. So thrice he besought the Lord to remove this thorn from him. And so it's not surprising that creatures like ourselves should also feel the same sort of pressures and feel helpless in the face of such severe experiences. Faced with such trials, where will our help come from? The very same source as benefited all the servants of God in the past. However, in the day which we live, as well as in bygone days, there are all sorts of voices that are speaking to us. There is one, particularly one that is loud and strong, that keeps saying, "You possess powers within yourself. Just call upon your own reserves. Call upon these secret strengths within you, and you'll be able to overcome any problem that faces you in this life." Well, if that was substantially the message of faith and hope, then the truth, as we know it, and as we believe it, would not have been called the good news, because many years before our Lord's day, there were the ancient Stoics who had said the very same thing long before our Lord was born. No, Christianity has something far better, far superior, quite different than trying to help ourselves by pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We can do better than to look to our own resources. Christianity says that we have the privilege and the opportunity of enlisting the power of the spirit realm, that we can go to the throne of heavenly grace seeking help in every time of need, and having the assurance also that that help will be sufficient for us. And so this strength which comes to us from above is emphasized in the Bible by this doctrine of the angels. The word angel, as I'm sure you know, literally means a messenger, an envoy, particularly a messenger from God. And how great are these servants of God? One thing, those that watch over us, those that help us in our ministry, they have the privilege of always beholding the face of the Father. Apparently, they must be able to travel faster than light. They are so powerful that one can destroy 185,000 enemies of God in just one night. And so these angels of God have brought blessings to the servants of the Heavenly Father in every age. As we recalled just a moment ago to Elijah, there appeared deliverance and strength under a juniper tree. And so, a beaten, discouraged, suffering, broken man was able to go on. Not because he could call upon some source of power within his own being, but because he received a real visitation from the throne of God and strength from above. And so to Paul, at the end of his struggle, he heard the voice of the Heavenly Father say to him, as we find recorded in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." And so with this assurance, he was then able to face the problem and to accept it in the right spirit and to press on. At the beginning of our Lord's ministry, when he was up in the mount and tempted of the adversary, we remember how valiantly he did resist. And we read in Matthew 4:11 that the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. And then he said at the end of his ministry, you remember when Peter drew the sword? These are Jesus' words recorded in Matthew 26:52-53. Great words for our young brethren, the COs. "Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" So Jesus, from the very beginning, he knew that from his very birth, the angels guarded over him. And now, just hours from finally giving up his life in wholehearted, complete sacrifice upon Calvary's cross, he knew very well that he could call for unseen power that could rescue him from any situation. But he didn't come into this world to save his life. He came into this world to give his life and to lose it so that he might become our Redeemer. And so it is to ourselves also in every time of need. There comes mercy from heaven through a delivering angel. I'm sure that there are some in this convention who could vouch for that very thing. In this age of faith, our Heavenly Father no longer sends materialized angels to his servants, as he did in the day of Abraham and other servants. And yet, we have the assurance that these messengers of God still keep a constant vigil over their precious charge. So the strengthening angel in our day now comes in a different form. However, no less real. How do they come? Well, so often, that strengthening angel comes to us through God's Word. God speaks to us through His Word. I believe there are some here who could also testify that at a crucial time in their life, at a moment when they needed help more than at any other time in their life, suddenly they were strengthened. It was like receiving a message from another world. Do you remember the day when perhaps you were so down in the depths of despair and trial, and the way was so rough and you felt you just couldn't keep up? Suddenly, Paul's words of encouragement came to you, recorded in Philippians 4:13, that say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." Or do you remember the time when you had a sense of unworthiness, when perhaps you did something that you knew was not right, and you were distressed by it, and you felt utterly ashamed to be called a child of God? What did you do? Very likely you fell on your knees and you went to the Heavenly Father, and about all you could say was, "Have mercy upon me and please forgive me." And then against that night, like bright stars shining in the heavens, there appeared these beautiful words from Isaiah 44:22. "I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins." And what is an experience like that but the strengthening of a delivering angel? Too often we are prone to ignore God's word, and in this way we forget about the help that comes from the Lord. But it is God's word that is the fountain of truth. We know that the theories of men are not the revelation of God, and how much we stand to lose if we ignore the truth, because it truly is the link between us and our Heavenly Father. It is really our listening post for messages from beyond. There was a time in the past, in each of our lives, perhaps it was just a month or two ago, maybe it was 40 or 50 years ago, but there was a time in our life when the God of heaven spoke to us. And what a blessing and what a relief that was. And it came because of delivering angels. Or as the Lord put it in Matthew 13:39, in connection with that parable, He says, "The reapers are the angels." It was angels, messengers of God, not materialized angels from the spirit realm, but brethren who were used as angels who spread the glad tidings, sending out light and truth concerning the two salvations and a ransom for all. And they ministered these wonderful harvest truths. And they not only ministered in this way of spreading the glad tidings, but also they were used in order to reap the wheat. And so this knowledge of God's plan, which we have received, carries with it a great responsibility, which we just cannot ignore. By God's grace, we've been given a clear outline of the divine plan of the ages and the fundamentals of Christian teaching, which it is our duty, my dear brethren, to keep alive in our midst. And that which we lovingly call present truth is far in advance of anything that is offered today in the Christian world. Only God's people are able to worship the only true and living God in the full sense of the word. We are in a position where we should be, therefore, watching for opportunities to tell others about our loving Father and about His wonderful plan of salvation. So let those in the city go about their business and serve whatever interests they want to serve. But let us, my dear brethren, continue as being separated from the world. Let us continue to be God's consecrated people in this life. Let us continue to offer unto Him all that we possibly can in order to bring some honor and glory to Him, for He is truly worthy. When we meet as the Ecclesia of God, the strengthening angel, which, as I mentioned, can be the Word of God, moves in and out amongst us. In this convention, in our study meetings, in our fellowship, it is the Word of God that is so important and calls to our attention the promises of God. Perhaps someone may come to a meeting or a convention with a frightful personal worry. And what happens? Some delivering angel calls to his or her attention that wonderful assurance, cast your burden on the Lord. And oh, when they realize how important this thought can be, they just feel so relieved because they've been carrying a burden far greater than they can possibly handle. So the angel moves on to another. Perhaps someone facing a dreadful, difficult, great task in the week to come. And this angel says, "The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And so this assures us that we can press on. Perhaps we see someone else whose faith is just wavering a little. And the angel prays, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." And so the miracle takes place. And so often the delivering angel is a fellow Christian, a fellow creature walking this narrow path along with us. And this is not surprising because our Father can use anything or anybody as His agency, as His messenger. And there are some of us here today who have been comforted by other servants of God in a tremendous way. And because of their love and concern for us, we're able to carry on. There were very few during our Master's lifetime that were really in a position or capable of being used as a comforting angel to the Lord. But Mary of Bethany was one that was used in just that way. Now, the Master's mind was filled with thoughts of His crucifixion, He knew it was only 5 days away. He realized that none could really understand all he was going through. None could enter into his feelings. And yet, when Mary anointed his feet with precious ointment and with her tears, and wiped his feet with her hair, this was very encouraging to the Lord. And somehow it gave him more peace and put him in closer contact with his Heavenly Father than he had been before. And so it is a fact to which many of us can bear witness that our Father seems so much nearer because of our special contact with some brother or sister. And some of the brethren have the blessed facility of turning our weakness into strength. Perhaps it's just one word. Perhaps it's just a smile or just a little pat. But these things have helped us. And if they have helped us, then if we exercise these same opportunities, then we too can be a strengthening, a delivering angel to someone else. Now there is still another way in which we are strengthened. Sometimes the strengthening angel is none other than the Lord himself. In a sense, it is always the Lord, whether it is through some word or some thought that we receive, or whether it is through some friendship, some companionship in the truth. You remember there was this dark night when the storms were fierce in Galilee and the winds were blowing a gale and the disciples were caught in this boat and they were very fearful and they felt that they would never see the light of dawn. But in the dark they observed this figure walking toward them. And at first they thought that it was a spirit being. And then Jesus spoke to them and suddenly there was a great shout from Peter. He says, "It's the Master, it's Jesus." Well, he knew it was the Master because the Lord had just said, as we find recorded in Matthew 14:27, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And so some of us, I'm sure, would not be here today if it was not for the fact that we had seen, while we were in a boat facing shipwreck, that we had seen the Lord coming toward us, saying then, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." So if there's anyone here this morning who has been walking in darkness and having no light, who is bruised and hurt in spirit, or who is experiencing some sort of a Gethsemane of regret or shame, be certain you are not alone. There is someone beside you. All it really takes is the eye of faith. The Lord has promised to be our companion and our helper and our guide throughout our life. And so if we can have the confidence that he is there, it will help us to turn those dark clouds of trouble and despair inside out, and for us then it will be a silver lining. Yes, our Heavenly Father will always send a delivering angel in every time of need. Let us be of good cheer. The delivering angel will come at just the right time. not in our time, but in God's due time. If needs be, an angel from the very face of God will be dispatched to your side to guide you and keep you. Let us look for these angels with the eye of faith. Let us pray for their constant help. Let us pray that we might see them, just like when Elisha prayed at Dothan that his servant might see. You remember? Israel was confronted with enemies. It looked as though they would be overtaken. The servant of Elijah trembled. Elisha trembled. But not the prophet. The prophet could see that the mountains were filled with angels. And so he prayed. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. Yes, my dear brethren, they're all around us, these strengthening and delivering angels of the Lord. Let us rejoice and give thanks, for the power of God is working on our behalf. May God bless us and keep us. Amen. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we as a little group of thy children come to thee once again to thank thee for thy many blessings. We thank thee especially for the sacrifice of Jesus and for the truth. We thank thee for the privilege of being here at this convention with those of like precious faith. We pray thy continued blessing to rest upon us, not only in the further sessions, but also in our fellowship together. We thank thee also for the food that has been prepared for us. We thank thee, Father, for the sacrifices of the dear brethren that have made it possible. We ask a special blessing upon them, upon the dear ones of this ecclesia. We're also mindful of our brethren scattered the world over. We pray a blessing upon those in particular who need thee because of their plight, their experiences. Grant them, as we know you will, a grace sufficient in their time of need. We pray thy forgiveness for our sins and shortcomings, and thy help in every time of need. Now continue with us as we fellowship and as we feast together, for we give thee thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen.